Hi, everybody. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast. It is an honor to have you joining us. Please like and subscribe to our programs, the Legends of the Hall Podcast and the Steve Kenyon Podcast. We're producing 3 or 4 a week now. We've got a lot of content, a lot of interviews, a lot of people we talk to. And normally when we since we first started back last summer, we put a podcast up every Thursday. Well, there's going to be 2 or 3 of them a week now that we hope you will join us for as we talk about the latest in the world of Western sports. Today, we get to do something nobody else has done. At the American Rodeo on Saturday night at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, Brandon Cullins, who's a barrel racing horse trainer originally from Maryland, now lives in Texas, won $1.1 million at the American, the first time a male trainer has won the barrel racing jackpot at the American, the first time that Brandon Cullins in 6 tries has made it to the championship podium at the American Rodeo on a horse called MJ Seeger's Fastlane, a 7-year-old mare that is by the great stallion, the Goodbye Lane. Well, I have a chance today, and we'll get to this in just a couple of minutes, to visit not just with Brandon, but with the people who own the horse, Grant and Rael Little. You might remember Rael as Rael Robinson, who went to the Canadian Finals 20 times, the NFR a couple of times, and won 4 Canadian titles. And Brandon's fiance, Emily Eford, who is a terrific trainer in her own right. And we get a chance to hear from all of them about what it took for Brandon Cullins to win that $1.1 million. That is coming up today on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. That's our Classic Equine, Classic Ropes featured interview of the week. We'll get to that in just a moment. I want to talk about Rodeo Houston for just a moment, the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. The first semifinal, as we're putting this show together on Thursday, has come to an end. Richie Champion won the bareback riding, Stetson Jorgensen the steer wrestling, Caleb Driggers and Junior Negata the team roping, Statler Wright, boys, he having a year, 20 years old, number one in the world standings, won the bronc riding, Marty Yates the tie-down roping. There's a great video of Marty floating around on Facebook. I shared it on my 8 Seconds Media Facebook page. They were in a traffic jam, and he just literally pulled his horse out of the trailer, saddled up, and rode to the arena. You can find the video on Facebook. It's cowboy stuff right there. Haley Gibson from California won the barrel race. Tristan Hutchings from Idaho won the bull riding. There was a tie in the barrel racing, or in the breakaway roping, I should say, in semifinals number one. Taylor Munsell and Jackie Crawford were both 2.8. And congratulations to all of those semifinals round winners at the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. Rodeo Houston comes to an end on Sunday. $50,000 checks to the winners. Defensive standout Carl Mecklenburg, who played for the Denver Broncos of the National Football League and is a member of the Ring of Fame, will be the featured speaker at the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame Spring Sports Fundraiser May 16th in Colorado Springs, Colorado. This will be an evening with Mecklenburg, a star for the Broncos for 11 years. You can go to the Pro Rodeo Hall of Fame's website and find out more about tickets and sponsorship opportunities. We're hoping that we'll have a chance to talk to Carl Mecklenburg soon on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. We're going to take a time out and say thank you to the people who bring you our programming. And that would include Wrangler, the official Western Wear professional rodeo. Long Live Cowboys, thanks to the Justin Boot Company. To M2 Ranch Jerky, check out the new website at m2-ranch.com. To Unbeatable Feeds, they're online at unbeatablefeeds.com. Thanks to Resistol, we wear it every day. To Prefert and to our newest sponsor, Aquinity Products. They're online at teamaquinity.com. I want you to think about the Gooding Pro Rodeo on Gooding, Idaho in August. Tickets go on sale soon. Something beer-worthy is going to happen in Gooding, Idaho, and to the Grandview at Las Vegas, the place we stayed during the Wrangler NFR. We're going to take a timeout. When we come back, we'll highlight the American, Brandon Cullins, his fiance Emily Eifert, and the owners of that great horse that Brandon just won $1 million on, Grant and Rael Little. They all join us next here on the Steve Kenyon Podcast.
Cowboying is in our blood. Cowboying is in our bruises. It's in our rain-soaked jackets. In our calloused hands, tested by barbed wire and rope. Our mud-stained boots to the crown of our Resistol hat. You live out west for even the shortest time, and there's one thing you learn. You can't pretend out here. Resistol. We live it every day.
Hey y'all, this is Cody Johnson. When I was starting out in music, most every radio station and venue I went to told me no. At that point, you got two options: tuck tail and quit, or buckle down and fight. Well, I'm a fighter, not a quitter. And that's why I wear Wrangler jeans and shirts. Their toughness and style are legendary. They're an iconic symbol of the West, and there's no quit in them either. Life's not about the destination. It's about the journey. And if I'm going to enjoy the ride, I'm riding in Wrangler. Wrangler. Long live Cowboys.
New styles join our time-tested Justin Bent Rail collection, like the rugged men and women who wear them. These boots stand for quality, integrity, tradition, and hard work. Straight from our legendary El Paso factory, our expert bootmakers build these boots with features that would make even the earliest cowboys proud. Outfit yourself today with a Bent Rail collection by Justin.
Hi, I'm Trevor Brazil, 26-time PRCA World Champion Cowboy. If you want to keep your horse at the top of their game, you need to have the Aquinity Edge. I use Aquinity because it's all about the horse. It helps with the longevity and overall maintenance of my horses. Team Aquinity is challenging you to try Aquinity Horse XL for the next 30 days and beyond. Watch how your horse transforms both in look and feel. To do this, go to teamaquinity.com to get started.
The American Rodeo is in the books for 2024. The champions winning $100,000, bareback rider Cade Saunier from Louisiana, breakaway roper Sarah Angeloni from Texas, Luke Brown and Hunter Cook in the team roping, Sage Newman from Montana in the saddle bronc riding, J.D. Struxness from Minnesota in the steer wrestling, the world standings leader Shad Mayfield in the tie-down roping, Creek Young from Missouri in the bull riding. Brandon Cullens won the barrel race, $1.1 million. Turned in the fastest time of the rodeo in the shootout round on Saturday night at Globe Life Field in Arlington, Texas, on a horse called MJ Seeger's Fastlane. This week, our Classic Equine Classic Ropes featured interview is with Brandon Cullens, his fiancée Emily Eifert, herself a terrific horse trainer, and the folks that own the horse, MJ Seeger's Fastlane, Grant and Rael Little from Canada. Nobody else has had a chance to hear from Grant and Rael, along with Brandon, talking about the journey of Brandon Cullens and MJ Seeger's Fastlane to the winner's circle at the American. Well, here it is, courtesy of our friends at Classic Equine and Classic Ropes. Welcome to the Steve Kenyon Podcast, and I am thrilled about the opportunity that I have. Not one, not two, not three, but four guests all at the same time. Brandon Cullens, his fiancée Emily Eifert, and Grant and Rael Little, who own the unbelievable horse that Brandon just rode to win $1.1 million at the American. Guys, welcome, first of all. Thank you for your time. Brandon, thanks for getting this group together. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Has it set in yet what you got done on Saturday?
I don't think so.
You guys are getting married in 3 weeks, Emily. How much better is the wedding going to be now?
How about just a little bit more fun than we would have before?
Full disclosure, I asked her that question before we started, and somebody in this conversation did say something about an open bar. So
there you go. It'll be there.
MJ Seeger's Fastlane, 7-year-old mare by the Goodbye Lane. Brandon, tell me about this horse. You made a comment in, I think, one of the interviews, an interview you did in the arena, about this being the best horse you've ever ridden. Coming from you, that's high praise.
I mean, she is. I mean, just look at what she's done. To me, it's, I don't know how to even describe her unless you've ever been on one like her. She just wins. And just what she, I don't know how she rides around, how she carries herself. It's just like everything you'd ever want in one. And all at the same time is kind of what I think what just sets her apart from the rest.
Yeah. Rael, you know barrel racing, 20-time Canadian finalist, 4-time Canadian champion, 2-time national finals rodeo qualifier. Tell me about getting this horse. Tell me about the history of this horse that you and Grant own. And then I want to follow up on that with asking you why this horse ended up with Brandon Cullens.
Well, as any great horse is, there's always those little hitches that go along with their disposition, their attitude. She was really a special horse probably right from the beginning. You could feel that, but you also knew that she was one of those that Brandon had actually said later on that she's very unforgiving. And I really felt like you couldn't do anything wrong because she could learn that as quickly as doing everything correctly.
Yeah.
But she was definitely very special right from the beginning.
Tell me about the partnership and your process in making Brandon your jockey.
Well, that was, I don't even know if you can explain how all of that happened or how it was meant to happen. But, you know, as we started our fraternity year, we were in Arizona in January, but Grant and I were at that point in time moving from Alberta to Texas. So we knew by springtime we were going to be very busy with renovations, moving and everything. And we knew we weren't going to have the time to haul that horse around. So at that time, we were really good friends with Mark and Linda Jarvis, who owned the Goodbye Lane. Mm-hmm. And we had asked them if their daughter Marcy would consider taking her for a while because we didn't have the time to haul her. Yeah. So then Marcy finished her fraternity year with her. And that was right till the end of the Pink Buckle that year, which was, I believe, October of 22.
I want to talk about bloodlines just for 2 seconds, Brandon. And my family's in the barrel racing horse business. I think everybody knows that. You and my son, Philip, are friends. Is the Goodbye Lane one of the two or three or four preeminent sires out there right now? I mean, it seems to me like a lot of these horses are winning.
Yeah, they are 100%. With all kinds of mares and like all kinds of people in different styles, he's pretty awesome. I mean, way up there. I mean, he's pretty incredible.
Grant, I want to ask you about this partnership between you guys, and I'm a little interested, I guess, in your story, and that I asked you about your background before we started this interview. You've been in the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. You have been a contractor. You've done a lot, and you've been involved, quite frankly, in a lot of jobs that secured the safety of the people around you and the population around you, and for that, God bless you, sir, and thank you. But tell me about getting this partnership together now and you kind of getting involved and getting passionate about the barrel racing industry.
Yeah, well, I've been trying to do this for a couple of decades, I guess, with breeding different horses and having some luck with, you know, various situations. But a mutual friend of all of ours, Brad Leblong from Arkansas, came over to Brandon and Emily's place, and we'd sold Brad a couple of horses, and he said, well, I want to go up and meet Grant Rail in Eastland. So, you know, we're 35 minutes from where we are right now at Brandon and Emily's place. So they all came up. We had a nice visit. Never really talked about jockeys or whatever. And then maybe a couple months later or a month later, we showed up with Seeger and said, you know, Brandon, if you ride this horse around, we'll leave it for a few days if you like it. And he rode it around for 15 minutes, said, yeah, this might just work, and it's really nice, and you know, a really nice broke horse. We just left the horse, and you know, I just said, like, you treat this horse like this is your horse, and you know, you want to enter, you want to go places, like, you just do you, and we're not going to get in your way. And as you may realize, that you know, Parker County, they set the arena record maybe a month after Brandon got on the horse, and then so many records, so many firsts, so many amazing things, and people, you know, have been respectfully wanting to purchase this horse for over a year now. And Rayel and I maybe had a couple of debates on whether we should or not, but I simply refused. Like, I just know what I know.
Yeah.
And it's difficult to explain that, but and this guy here, like, I mean, he made the difference. Like, you know, you can have a great horse, but you need the right combination. And there's far more things out there than just yourself, Steve, and the four of us. I mean, like the journey of this horse and Brandon, I mean, you know, to say there's tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of people that know this and have followed this horse and cheered for Brandon. Like, I don't know anybody. If somebody's upset that they won, I need to meet them.
Yeah. Let's I told Brandon when I asked him to do this, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this because I'm going to get in trouble for saying this. I don't want to give stupid people a lot of time. But there was some complaining, and there have been some people online who maybe don't understand that the American is an open format sanctioned by the Better Barrel Racers. Men compete alongside women at BBR races every day. Brandon, you compete alongside. There's a great story in a piece that Kendra Santos wrote about Cassie Mowry, who has won, what, $5, $6 million in her career, most of it on Futurity and Young Horses, not in rodeo, calling you in Rolo's either Futurity or Derby year. She broke her ankle. You're the only other person to ride Rolo other than Cassie. This should not be a big deal. The format of the American is such that men can compete against women in every event. Women compete against me. Kids compete against adults. It's the way the format is. And you made the short round at that rodeo, or made the rodeo six times, Brandon, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So just toss it out there, guys. What, I don't know if you paid any attention to any of the chatter online or anything, have you?
Yes and no. I mean, I've seen some of it, but then I just don't pay much attention to it. I mean, you can't argue with everybody, and you're not going to convince somebody. And
yeah,
I think some people like just being mad about something, but like, I don't want to belittle somebody's opinion, because you're entitled to whatever you want to think. But I think people like that probably have never been able to do something on that kind of level, so they don't really understand what it takes. And I think it's a little bit shitty that somebody thinks just because I'm a man I can beat a woman, which makes me, I don't know, because I get beat by women a lot, so maybe I'm not much of a man, but.
Well, and in the equestrian industry, you know, the Olympics are not too far away. Jumping and dressage and all those events are going to be men and women together. Cutting, reining, rein cow horse, men and women compete together. It's on the horse, Emily. It's not on the jockey, it's on the horse.
Yeah, that's my feeling on it. Yeah. I mean, it's, I guess I've heard people say, like, specific situations that maybe because you're strong, you can move yourself different or something, or if you're lighter, you'd be faster. But I mean, I don't know. I think it's all irrelevant. That horse is going to find a way to win regardless if it's a winner. And for like the majority of my help that I've gotten in my career has been from women. I mean, there's lots of men that's helped, like Michael Boone, Cody Bowserman's helped a bunch, Kelly Conrado, but most of them that I've gotten help from have been women that have helped me get better. So I don't know where most women are better than me, so I don't know why I'd have an advantage.
Let me ask you about your two runs at the American on Saturday night. I was really worried about you on your first one because I know just enough about barrel racing to be dangerous. Emily's laughing in the background. She knows what I'm about to say.
You say you were worried about
me too.
You turned the third barrel and you were pointed at the second. You weren't pointed at the alleyway. And I told some friends that the difference is a lot of jockeys would have started pulling on their horse right there. You just let her run. But, and you were still, I think, second in that round of 10. Tell me about that run, that first run you made at Globe Life on Saturday night.
Yeah, well, that I think goes why I say she's like the best horse I've ever rode, because she can win on accident. Like, things can go wrong and she never gives up, but, that mare, she can be hard to get around the barrels sometimes because she's so aggressive. So my main goal there was, I thought if I could just get around and get to the four, then I could kind of tighten her up after that. But so I kept her really round before I ran and never really rocked her back or anything. I just kept her forward and around because I wanted to make sure I stayed clean. And I sent her in there pretty hard to her first. I got a little bit by it and kind of had to bring her back around. And then she set herself up great and just went to the turn fast. And I feel like she didn't really set her leg. She just brought her front end and kind of fell into a rut. And her hind legs went out behind her. She was kind of belly on the ground, headed back like towards the timer, towards the alleyway. And I think that's what she took over. She just wanted it. And I mean, she just used what she had to keep turning. And she stayed in the turn with her front end, then took off. And I think going to the third, she kind of probably still had that in her mind, like, don't bury up too hard because it might not hold you. So she just kind of hit a spot and then let go and then kept running. But I knew she's fast enough that, I mean, pulling wasn't going to help me. So I knew she was going to get back to where she needed to be. So I just kind of let her go and guided her back through.
Emily, where were you while all this was going on? Were you back in the back helping him? Were you in the stands with Grant Rail? Where were you? And did you guys talk about that all, any of that in between the 10 and the 4?
I was down at the bottom with Brandon. I didn't have my cowgirl clothes, so I couldn't really be down close to the alley, but I was kind of at the corner gate. And after both runs, we said it doesn't really matter how she ends up. She tried her best and put them in all the right spots and did what she could. So yeah, we were just happy regardless.
First down on the ground in the four round, you turned in the fastest time of the night of 15:17, if my memory serves me correctly. Did you change anything? Obviously, that third barrel was a lot tighter turn. There was one barrel in there that you reached back and set up on your way by, which a lot of people can't pull off. You let go of the reins and we're setting a barrel up. Tell me about that four run.
Before that round, I did square up a little bit, warming her up, but maybe two or three circles each direction. I kind of put her back between the reins and rocked her back a little bit. And then before I ran, I kind of pulled her through herself once or twice. But that's those horses like that makes, you can change them so fast. They're just so receptive. So it doesn't really take much to tune on them. And there, I think I just rode a little, just a hair more conservative, as like, I didn't need to chase her by the barrels. I could run her to her spot and set her up. And then that run there, she felt perfect. Like she went, like Emily said, went right to her spots, and took me where I needed to be. I gave up a little bit early. Well, leaving the third or second barrel, I said, okay, I thought to myself, I'm in good shape. And going to the third barrel, I think I give up a little bit early on her and picked up on her, and she you can see in the video, she really stuck her leg and was coming through herself, and she rocked it. And I didn't set it up. I let go of the rein and went to set it up, but I never touched the barrel because by the time my hand got there, it was already setting back up. So
I always wonder about that rail. And Emily, you've ridden barrel horses and maybe been in that spot. I always wonder if you really do yourself any good reaching back and grabbing the barrel, because by the time you get your hand on it, you're already gone. I don't know. I mean, Brandon can pull it off. What's it like sitting in the audience watching this all happen, Rael? I've always thought it's harder to watch your friends and your family and the people you care about than it is actually to do it yourself. Am I anywhere close to right in that?
You're totally correct in that, Steve.
Yeah.
I mean, I was actually vibrating sitting there in the stands just because I guess I have no control for one thing, but you know, I was totally in awe though, in the fact that to me, Brandon had so much trust in that horse and he allowed her to work. And even as extreme as she can be, he could just stay out of her way and let her go do her job. And I think that's what makes him such an incredible jockey, you know, and to be able to take the training cap off and to put the jockey cap on, so few people can do. And now he's able to do that and just erase what happened in the first round and go make that perfect run that he had envisioned in the second is just incredible.
You had to come through to get to this point with Brandon and Seeger. You had to come through the American Contender Tournament. You had to go through Oklahoma City and then through Abilene. They have something called the Redemption Round at the Contender Tournament Finals in Oklahoma City. Brandon, you hit a barrel there, went through the Redemption Round. Grant, you sent him a message that Brandon talked to Kendra Santos in that beautiful article that she wrote about this, and he said that there was something about how he really felt like you guys were more worried about him than you were the horse at that point. Talk about that a little bit, Grant.
Yeah, well, don't get me misty-eyed. I'm supposed to be a special forces guy, canine guy, training killer dude.
So, sorry.
But, yeah, the entire journey, and you know what I mean? I don't think it's close to over, but, you know, I special guy, you know, and with a special horse.
Yeah.
And, I think so many, you know, owners or whatever, you know, they're great people, but sometimes, you know, somebody pays somebody to ride a horse. The legit trainers work their guts out, wind blowing straight sideways, raining straight down. Looks all romantic when somebody's got a back number going to the NFR or winning the world or whatever. But I mean, day in, day out, the relentless pursuit of perfection, which nobody truly attains. I mean, you know, I mean, I think a lot of owners should understand that the only person that wants to do better than the owner would be the person that's saddled up and going in that alleyway, you know? And yeah, we, like it matters. And, like the horse is just one part of it. Like if you don't look after the human side of it, you know what I mean? I can pay you a bunch of money to ride a horse, but I don't think anybody should be a doormat ever. And I think that people should understand that if you can't do that, then you need to get somebody that can do it and get out of their way. And this guy has exceeded every expectation we've ever had. And first and foremost, above any of all this, is these two people sitting beside us are an amazing couple.
Yeah. I agree with that totally. Funny story, we were at the Lazy E, and you and Emily Grant, Brandon had both just gotten done doing some big things. I forget which barrel race it was even. Anyway, I came and found you in the background. I forgot to bring my tripod. So in the middle of all this, I asked interviews for both of them. Brandon was the cameraman when I interviewed Emily. Emily was the camera person when I interviewed Brandon. I don't know if I can tell you folks, and I don't know either one of you as well as I'd like to. These are two really nice, down-to-earth young people, aren't they? Aren't they, Rael?
No, absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't ask for any better people to, you know, ride our horse, train our horse. The care that she gets, you know, day in and day out has been absolutely incredible. And like I say, just very, very good people.
I'm not sure even who I want to direct this question to, but in the history of barrel racing, if you think about it, Charmaine and Scamper, Lisa and Louie, there have been some matches of horses and riders where you just knew the two of them were the perfect match. Is this the perfect match?
Well, if anybody would know a little bit of the history of the horse and the way she is, I would definitely have to say this is the perfect match. Yeah. Not just anybody could ride that horse.
They're kind of made for each other.
They are absolutely made for each other.
Emily, do you want to follow up on that a little bit? What is it about not just anybody can ride Seeger?
Awesome as that horse is, I don't think I would want to try to ride her. Just like Rael was saying, a little unforgiving, but almost so intense and athletic. I don't think there's many people that could keep up with her timing and stay out of her way like he does.
Yeah, the moves that she has, yeah. And everything is so quick and responsive.
Yeah,
to not overreact.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just incredible.
Mm-hmm. From the Kendra Santos article that I've referenced a couple of times. Brandon is 35. He's from Clements, Maryland. He was not raised in a rodeo family. Two of his aunts had horses when he was really young. Then another aunt got a couple of horses when he was 13 or 14. Young Brandon couldn't get enough of just trail riding them around the farm. He went to a 4-H camp at 14, and the play days included barrel racing, and he was hooked. And after that, they had to hide barrel racing magazines from him in order to get him to do his homework. Brandon was 16 when he took his first outside horse. He doesn't remember getting paid. He just wanted to ride. Think back to those days, Brandon, when you were a kid in Maryland.
Yeah. Still don't want to do homework. Emily does.
Who
the
does?
Billing.
What did it take to get to this point? You've won, with the American money thrown in, you've won about $3 million, I think. Roughly, more or less, just training horses. This horse, MJ Seeger's Fastlane, had won over 300,000 before the American, so you can make that a $1.4 million horse. What did it take to get to this point?
I think a little bit of stupidity and never giving up when you probably should have. That's somebody when we first moved out here. She asked, what's the secret? Like, how do you get good at it? And I was half joking, but half serious. I said, you got to live in your mom's basement till you're about 31. And like, that's what I did. But yeah, I think just that's all I wanted to do. So I think it was just, never really thought much about it. It's just what I wanted. So I just never felt like work, just kept doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, years of trying and failing and then eventually winning a little bit, then failing again and winning a little bit, and I'm sure we'll fail some more.
Yeah. You had been to the American 6 times. You made a comment in one of the interviews I read. This is the first time you've ever won any money?
Yeah. The first 2 years I made it to the finals. I made the final four, but drug barrels. And that was the years that they paid just first and second.
Right.
I think I was like third and fourth or something those years. And then the next time I made it, they paid like the final four or final eight, top eight or something like that. And I was in like the top 10 or something. It was almost like I was chasing it backwards. So yeah, I'd been there a bunch, but never, this was the first time I ever won any money. And before it started, when Emily said they put the payout out and we were guaranteed money for just making the finals. And then we said, what's a win either way? We're going to win our first dollar there at the stadium. So.
You're better off than you were before. Yeah.
So no matter what, it's going to be better than the last five times.
Well, $1.1 million. What? This is the most obvious, and I sometimes think it's not a very good question because people don't always know. But how much does that kind of money impact your life?
I know it will, but I really haven't thought about it much. Half of it scares me because I know how fast I can spend money. So I'll like, oh, yeah, we're good. And all of a sudden it'll be gone. but we've been talking a little bit and having to sit down with people and kind of really plan on what to do with it and like taxes and how to best put it away because barrel racing isn't a very good retirement plan. So we're trying to figure out how to survive once we can't ride horses anymore. So that's probably my main goal with it, is to set something up there to set us up for the later years.
Yeah. The year that Richie Champion won the bareback riding, the first year of the American 2014, Richie was a 20-something-year-old kid. And everybody around Richie said they got his dad got a hold of him right away. They made sure that, you know, kind of the same thing. It's amazing. You think you got a lot, and then you figure out how quick you can spend it. So,
oh yeah, I'm good.
Especially on barrel horses.
Emily,
how many horses do you guys have in training? How many horses do you have in the place? Emily is one of the most accomplished barrel horse trainers in the country as well. You won a couple hundred thousand dollars, if I remember right, last year. Tell me about your day. And the day after the American, it sounds to me like you weren't off celebrating. You were right back in the barn going to work.
Well, we celebrated pretty good that night and then went back to work. But we counted, what did we have last night? We counted 47 horses in the place. Yeah. But I think only 25 are riding. And we're doing a lot of breeding and kind of raising our own colts and kind of trying to move more towards mainly riding our own and just keeping like a few close owners and good owners and kind of doing more of that. But I guess we start out riding kind of what we want, what we like to ride, and kind of go from there. But I don't know, it's kind of a team effort from day to day.
I hope this doesn't sound like a dumb question. Is there a process, or are there things you look at? You can't take every horse that you're probably offered. Are there things that you look for in a horse that you know for either one of you will make them a good match for you to ride and train and compete on and invest your time in?
Would you say we ride for people?
Yeah, mostly owners and then pedigree. There's a lot of stuff I know that, you know, there's exceptions to every rule, but we know certain stuff that we've got along with and like to ride and stuff and might have the most success with. So we kind of pick off of that. And then we try not to take a bunch of new owners because everybody's different. And some owners might work better with other people and you don't ever know until you try. So when we have owners that we know that we get along with well, we stick with them pretty well. And then a lot of those long-term owners will lean towards the pedigrees that we like. So it kind of works out that way.
Yeah. So let me talk about pedigrees. I know one of the things that you're trying to do right now, Brandon, is, and I'm going to give you a chance to brag about future opportunities for your business here. You guys have a stallion or two you're trying to get out there and get marketed. Talk about that.
Yeah, we have a stud now. He's a good by lane also. And then his mother is the same mother as like VQ Sucker Punch and Folsom Prisoner.
VQ Sucker Punch was the horse you made the four rounds the first 2 years on at the American, right?
Yeah, that's him. And then Cassie, rodeoed him a little bit. I think it's like 6-year-old year, like want to go around at Calgary and won some more other stuff on him. And Cheyenne Wimberly made the finals on him a couple years after that. And then the Folsom Prisoner, he's a blazing out of the same mother that I won the BFA futurity on. He won about 100 his futurity year. That bottom side I've gotten along with really well also, and then the top side too.
Before I let you go, and I really appreciate your time, One thing that I always wonder about, because the thing about being a male horse trainer going to rodeos, you don't get to maybe get those horses in arenas where you have the big loud crowd and the music and the announcers making a whole bunch of noise and all that kind of fun stuff. Was there any trouble adapting? Is there anything you can, I mean, you can't probably set up a bunch of speakers and play AC/DC while you're making your training runs in the barn, or maybe you can, I don't know. But how do you get your horse that has been the environment at a Futurity and a Derby and a barrel race and a jackpot, a big jackpot, even if it's like the Pink Buckle or any of those, is different than it is at a rodeo. How do you get your horse adjusted to a rodeo?
Honestly, you know, I mean, I didn't do anything any of the years for that. And I feel like those horses are so confident in what they're doing that the atmosphere never fazed them. Like that mare, I don't know how much you could see her in the back from the from watching, but she was about as cool as could be. Like the worst she was walking down the tunnel to get there because she was pushing me and there's a line of mats. And now I'm trying not to get her off onto the concrete.
Yeah.
And she's just ready to get down there, like ready to go. And then, but you get her down there and then she just kind of looks around and I don't know. I think she's so confident in herself. And I think those great ones know they're great. And I don't know if they think, yeah, look, all these people are here for me, or they don't even pay attention to the people. But yeah, I think all those horses that I've able to make back to the finals like that, it never seemed to faze them. And I don't know if that's just because they are such exceptional horses that by that time that they're so confident in themselves that the atmosphere didn't bother them.
Yeah. Grant Rail, I asked Brandon about the impact of winning all that money, and you guys' financial arrangements on this are all your business, but you own the horse. So how's this going to impact you guys?
Grant and I are still looking at each other just in shock that this has actually all happened. You know, I just don't know how many chances that people get to have a barrel racing horse that gets to run down the alley for that kind of money.
Yeah.
And to actually get it accomplished. So it's been incredible. And, you know, we haven't even had a chance to even think about the money part of it.
Yeah.
You know, as you know, the barrel racing industry, nothing comes without a lot of expense. So the same story, I'm sure it will all get recycled and put right back into barrel horses.
Yeah.
Tell me about your program, Grant. I'm guessing this MJ Seeger's Fastlane horse is not the only one you guys own. Do you have some others with Brandon? Are there some other prospects coming up?
Yeah, we have, you know, for the last three decades, I've had, you know, three or four special mares. You'd all remember Lady Burks. I was blessed enough to be in her life and found her when she was a coming 2-year-old from a great man, Guy Waters in Sherrill, Colorado. And then Lady Burks was trained by Dina Kirkpatrick and Futurity a little bit. And then Rail won over $250,000 out of the Canadian finals, Panoka 3 years in a row. Like, again, just, you know, there's so many things out there, Steve, as you would know, that's far more powerful than us talking. Again, bred Lady Burks to Blazing Jetalina a long time ago. That's the mother of Rolo, Blazing Black Beauty, and GL Famous First Lady came out of Lady Burks. That's a dash to fame. And Jeff and Andrea Busby purchased a lot of those horses from us along with Lady Burks. And, you know, Brittany with Benny last year, you know what I mean? We've been very fortunate, very blessed. And it's, you know, like if you knew me better, you know, my team and I, we go out in the dark and we hunt evil and we do things that people don't understand maybe or don't want to know. But this is such an amazing thing. And there's so many people involved. I mean, it's not even about us. You know, I mean, I don't even, like, if you want to give me 1% of the credit, that's maximum. Like, it's all about everybody else that's done whatever they've done. And that's the cool thing. You know what I mean? To me, anyway. It's so much about the money, but it's so much about what everybody feels. You, Kendra Santos, you know, whether it's Sherry, Jordan, Brittany, all these people, Cassie, you know, like, I mean, it's so inspiring for so many people. Those little kids that want to be a barrel racer, those, you know, grandparents that want to have a dream for their child, you know, I mean, it's just so inspiring. And we all happen to be attached to it, but it's an amazing thing.
Now, okay, now you're going to make me tear up. Stop it, Grant. No, that was well said. And I agree. I think, you know, there's a lot of inspiration that should come. Emily, there's a lot of inspiration that should come from what you guys got done with this horse, I think. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree. We're super special. Like, none of us, I don't think it's hit any of us what that horse has done for so many people.
Yeah. Yep. Okay, I want to ask you guys about, and again, I'm looking at this article that Kendra wrote. Before I let you go, I want to ask you guys about the name of your place in Texas. It is called the 1062 Ranch, right? Is that, did I get that right?
Yep, 1062 Barrel Horses.
1062 Barrel Horses. Where did that come from?
Well, when I had an LLC in Maryland, it was just Brandon Cullen's Barrel Horses, but that was before I knew Emily. And then when we moved down here, we were needing to get an LLC set up for us here. And I didn't, obviously it wasn't just me anymore. So we're trying to think of a name for it. I was just riding around thinking, just trying to think of something. And Brandon and Emily came to my mind, and B&E came to my mind. And I was thinking all those cop shows, B&E is breaking and entering. And yeah. Then I was like, oh, so I Googled what it's the police code for breaking and entering. And I don't know where it is, where this code works, but it was 1062, which me and Grant were talking the other day, which for his deal, 1062 is something else. So. But according to Google,
it works.
Well, Google would never lie to us. What's next for you guys? Rael, Grant, what's next for you guys?
Well, we've got Seeger down at Zerlotti's there now and getting bred to Trace Ace. And we did that last year. And we have a Winner's Version 2-year-old on the ground that somebody purchased from Canada. And again, these 3 or 4 special mares that we have, and we're pulling them out. You know, we're Rails riding these young ones, and I'm in charge of arena maintenance and cleaning stalls.
Yeah. Rael, 20 trips to the Canadian finals. You've ridden a lot of great horses in your life. How would you have done with Seeger?
I will definitely say that I do not think I could have ridden Seeger the way that Brandon has been able to pilot and ride that mare. You know, she was absolutely incredible. And I do know I've had some great horses over the years, but, you know, she was one of those truly special horses. But there again, like, I think we all agree, she maybe wasn't the easiest to ride or get figured out. But with the extra time that it took, and maybe until her Derby year and her maturity came, you know, it allowed Brandon then to be able to mold her into the horse that she was, that everybody got to see at Globe Life the other day.
Yeah. Emily, you got a wedding in about 3 weeks. What else is on the, I mean, I'm guessing there's more than a few barrel races planned along with the wedding, right?
Yeah, I'm actually leaving for my bachelorette trip today when we get finished here. But what are you going to do? Select Stallion next week. We have a fraternity next week. I think a fraternity after the wedding, and then 2 weeks after the wedding. So
you're not going to get bored?
No, never.
Brandon, let me ask you before I let you guys go about the impact of this from a guy who started really not even in the rodeo business to now being one of the most well-recognized horse trainers in the country. This put this American win in perspective from that aspect for you and your business and the opportunities that you have headed down the road.
I don't know. I don't think too much about recognition. I don't particularly enjoy that, but it's just weird to think that, you know, 20 some years ago when I thought I was going to do this, I didn't really think it would work, but I wanted to.
Yeah.
I mean, never would have thought. I remember years ago, I was thinking that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen, because Troy won like 500,000 in 1 year. And I thought that was amazing, but nobody will ever do that. Because, I mean, Troy's just incredible.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and then now, like, you can actually make a living with it, the money that we've won so far. And, like, we have our own place. I'm not living in a basement anymore. We're starting to breed and raise our own horses and, like, pretty comfortable. Like, I never thought that was ever really possible.
Yeah.
And it just kind of worked out.
Kendra in that article pointed out that you were riding kind of an old saddle. Is there a new saddle in the future? Or is that old saddle going to be good for a while?
I don't think anything's wrong with it. Well, it's funny. Like, there's two of my saddles are catching some hell on Facebook, but I think they're great saddles. The one that I used at the American, Emily had bought, I think last year or so, from Jane Fambro used. I think it was kind of for her, but I just ended up taking it over. But, and then the other one, that the back's real tore up, and I don't think you can see the saddle horn. It's like a spike coming out of there because the rawhide's gone. But that's from a friend of mine in Pennsylvania, Doug Kurtzetter. I probably had it 10 years maybe. And yeah. It's used from him. I traded it for 2 months of riding. But we have bought a couple new saddles. Well, they let me keep the pink buckle saddle that Seeger won. So I've used that, and it's a new saddle. And then we bought a new Robbie Phillips that I use some too. But I don't know, saddles aren't, I'm not real big on that. Like, it's just whatever works.
Yeah. Well, there it is. Grant Rail, Emily and Brandon, thank you for your time. Congratulations to all of you. At some point, y'all said the same thing. It hasn't set in yet. I really want to be at the party when it finally sets in. I got a funny feeling that's going to be a hell of a party. You guys,
send me your address. We'll have it there.
Travel safe. Congratulations on the upcoming wedding. Brandon, congratulations on breaking the ice in the biggest possible way at the American, $1.1 million. Couldn't be happier for you.
Appreciate it.
A big thank you to the folks at Classic Equine and Classic Ropes for bringing you our featured interview each week on the Steve Kenyon Podcast. That's Brandon Cullens along with Grant and Rayal Little and Brandon's fiance Emily Eifert talking about winning $1.1 million at the American Rodeo. You can watch the video. Just go to our 8 Seconds Media YouTube channel, and you can find all the links at 8secondsmedia.com. Please like and subscribe to our podcasts and everything else that we've got coming up. There's some new things around the corner that I'll tell you about in the next couple weeks that I'm kind of excited about. Thanks to our sponsors, Wrangler, Long Live Cowboys, to the Justin Boot Company, the standard of the West since 1879, to Resist All, we wear it every day, to Aquinity Products, TeamAquinity.com, our newest sponsor, to Prefert, number one in ranch and rodeo, to Unbeatable Feeds at UnbeatableFeeds.com, and to M2 Ranch Jerky. Check out the new website, M2-Ranch.com. To Classic Equine and Classic Ropes, we say thank you for bringing us this week's featured interview. God bless everybody. I'm Steve Kenyon. Thank you for listening to the Steve Kenyon Podcast.